Welcome to Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, H.C. Felder, and today the topic is The Secret. And to discuss this with me, I have a very special guest, Marsha Montenegro. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Marsha. Marsha started a ministry called Christian Answers for the New Age. She was at one time involved in the New Age movement. She was actually an astrologer. She is the author of Spellbound, The Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids. And she's also working on a Master's of Arts degree from Southern Evangelical Seminary in apologetics. So welcome to the show, Marsha.
Yes, hello, Harold. It's nice to be on.
Yeah, you're becoming a regular now.
Oh, well, good.
So tell us about your ministry.
Well, my ministry has a twofold purpose. One is to educate Christians on topics of the New Age and the occult so that they can recognize it in the culture, and also to equip them to talk to people who are involved in these areas. And the second purpose is to engage in, you know, discussions with or interact with people who are involved in the New Age and the occult. So those are my two focuses that I have in the ministry.
Yeah, you get around, too. I see you at a lot of apologetic conferences, and you're teaching all over the country, aren't you?
You know, the Lord's been absolutely gracious in the amazing doors He's opened for me. Yes, I have been to, just since January, I've been to California and then Ohio. I'm getting ready to go to Kansas City, Missouri, and then I'll be going to North Carolina, and so the Lord does open doors for me, and I do get to travel a bit.
Okay, so let's get to the topic, The Secret. Now, what got you interested in this topic?
Well, this is what happened. I just happened to be turning on my TV one day because I was going to program it for a show coming on later, and Oprah Winfrey was on. And I heard them saying things that caught my interest. She had a panel of people on the stage, and they were talking about using your mind or using some kind of law to attract things to yourself. And I thought, okay, this sounds like something I should listen to.
Right.
And
right.
I ended up listening to it, and I had only missed maybe the first 10 minutes or so. So I got to hear most of it, and I immediately knew this was something I needed to get educated on in terms of finding out what she was promoting, and it seemed to be a DVD and a book called The Secret, and that's what they were discussing on the show. And the following week, she actually had a second show on it because she said the response was so huge to the first show that she decided to have a second show, and she said she either said she never did this or hardly ever did it. So this was a very unusual thing for her to have a second show on a topic so soon after the first show, and I watched that. I knew what the principles were that these teachings were based on, or I already knew about those principles, and so I did a little article for my website just to address the Oprah Winfrey show. And then later, I actually did watch the DVD, and I read the book, and I wrote a second article a little more in-depth based on the book and the DVD. So the basic idea is that these teachings are based on something called New Thought.
Okay, so I guess that leads me into my next question, Marsha. Exactly what is The Secret?
Right. The Secret, which of course is not so secret now,
right,
is that there is something called the law of attraction that operates. And when you understand this law and work with it, you can attract things to yourself like health, wealth, love, good career, etc. And this law operates based on your thoughts and your belief in getting the things you want. So if you have a certain desire for something, you think about it, but you think about it in terms of already having it, that it's coming to you. You don't think about it with any doubt. And your belief according to them, plays into this. You have to be very positive. And if you start living your life this way, just expecting these things to come to you, they will come to you.
Now, where did this come from? Who started this movement?
Right. Well, actually, the book, The Secret, and the DVD, probably should mention this, was written by a woman named Rhonda Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, who is a, I think, a television producer. I know she's from Australia. I know she's in the television business there. And she said that at a low point in her life, she came across, or somebody gave her a book by Wallace D. Waddle. And this book was called The Science of Getting Rich. It was actually published way back in 1910, almost 100 years ago. And she said her life was completely transformed by this book, and she wanted to share it with the world. And she went around and found people, she says, who already knew this secret, and she filmed them for the DVD. So the DVD actually came out before the book. And then she wrote it all up in the book. The book is kind of like a written form of the DVD. And she contacted several people. These people appear in the DVD and the book. They include people like Jack Canfield, who's one of the co-editors of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, which I think most people must be familiar with, since those books are everywhere, even in Christian bookstores, unfortunately, because Jack Canfield's a New Ager. And she had many, many other people on the show. And all these people supposedly understand the secret and how this law of attraction operates, and they explain it on the DVD and in the book. So the thing is that she presents this as though this is a teaching that has been suppressed, that was known long, long, long ago, back in ancient times, and by certain people throughout history, but it was suppressed by various people who didn't want this secret out. And, of course, this is just silly because I knew about it, you know, from studying the New Age and being in the New Age and also knowing about the New Thought movement, which is where this is from. In fact, the book she read that inspired her by Wallace Waddles was a New Thought teacher. So, and they quote some of the New Thought people in the book. So clearly it comes from the New Thought movement, but that's not really explained in the book.
Yeah, now, I mean, you already touched on it a little bit, but could you go into a little bit more detail about the core beliefs?
Yes. New Thought was a movement that really goes back to a man named Emanuel Swedenborg, who lived in the late 18th, around the 18th century. And Swedenborg, I'm not sure how to say his name, had certain teachings such as Jesus is not the way but a way shower. Heaven and hell are states of mind. They're not real places. Taught that sickness comes from wrong thinking or incorrect thinking, and it's caused by bad thoughts and desires. So everything basically was based on how you think. And not only that, but the nature of Jesus and God were different from the Bible. And these teachings came along with other people were inspired by these teachings, like a man named Phineas Parker's Quimby, who lived from 1802 to 1866. And he also believed that he had discovered the healing power of Jesus. And he called this power Christ Science, which is very interesting because his teachings influenced someone named Mary Baker Eddy, who founded the Church of Christ Science, otherwise known as Christian Science. And you can see she actually took the phrase from Quimby, Christ Science. This was a teaching that God is divine mind and illness results from being out of tune with divine mind. And so she taught also that, you know, this illness is not real. And so here again you see this idea that illness is not really what we think it is. It's not really germs or actually being sick. It's caused by something in the mind or the way you're thinking. Another big New Thought church that came out of this movement was the Unity School of Christianity, usually just known as Unity. and I want to say this is not the same as Unitarian, as the Unitarian Church, and it's not the same as the Unification Church, because sometimes people get it mixed up with those, you know, they get all three of those mixed up because of the names
right.
are similar. But Unity, founded by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore in 1889, is very New Thought, because they teach the same kind of things, very similar to Swedenborg, that Jesus is a way shower. He was an enlightened man who discovered his divine nature, which is something we all have. So they put Jesus down and at the same time elevate man. So Jesus was just a man. He was not the unique Son of God, and he was not a savior in the sense that the Bible teaches Jesus as a savior. But we all have this ability to attain this understanding of our true nature, which they call Christ consciousness. And Unity, which is, of course, a church that still exists today, does call itself Christian, and they promote themselves as being practical Christianity because they claim that they have techniques to enrich your life. And a lot of these are what is taught in The Secret, using your mind to attract things. So positive thinking attracts positive events in your life, and negative thinking attracts negative events. And this is also a belief that migrated into the New Age. The New Age is actually a blend of a lot of beliefs, and one of the areas that the New Age draws on is the New Thought movement. So the New Age incorporated a lot of the New Thought teachings. So we see the New Thought teachings not only in these New Thought churches, but also in the New Age.
Okay, now evaluate the teachings of The Secret against Scripture.
Yes, and this is a very important area, because the people who promote The Secret say that it is compatible with Christianity. And this is one of the big areas of confusion for a lot of people. And they will actually quote verses from the Bible to try to show that The Secret is supported by the Bible. Of course, they're taking these verses out of context, or they're misinterpreting them. Of course, one of the major differences is the view of Jesus Christ. The Secret and New Thought does not see sin as man's problem. They see incorrect thinking as man's problem. And so it's man's incorrect thinking that needs to be changed. And in fact, the New Thought teachers taught that Jesus came to teach us to correct our thinking. So that's why Jesus came. And, of course, that is completely against the Bible,
right.
That Jesus came to pay the penalty for sins and to bring redemption through faith in him as the Savior. They also have a very vague notion of God. They will refer to God, but it's very vague. It's not the God of the Bible. They often talk about the universe, which kind of replaces God. And the universe is impersonal, and yet they talk about the universe as though it can personally hear you and respond to you. So there's a contradiction there.
So is this sort of like, you know, I hear sometimes people talk about the universe. We have to balance things with the universe, or we do certain things in order to the universe will get upset, or the universe will be happy with us. You talking about in terms like that?
Yes, and that phrase, the universe, you know, I hear it more now. It was very, very common when I was in the New Age. I heard it a lot among other New Agers, and people would just say, well, you know, I think the universe wanted me to be here tonight,
yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
And you didn't hear it too much outside of people who had those New Age beliefs, but now it is kind of filtering into the culture. And I think it's because these New Age ideas are getting more into the culture. So you hear this term, the universe, and it's talked about in the New Age, and it's also mentioned quite a bit in The Secret. In fact, at one point I started counting how many times it was being referred to, and I finally got tired of it because it was so many times.
Right.
I think I stopped counting at 75 or something. And The Secret's not a very long book, so it's in there quite a bit. So there's the view of Jesus and the view of the need. And the view of man as sinful creature, which the Bible has, of course, is not held by The Secret or by New Thought. So there's two major, huge, major differences. And then, of course, they believe in this law of attraction, which unfortunately I have noticed some Christians sort of buying into it, or they think there's a biblical way to view it. And they just think the people that believe in the secret are not, you know, getting the biblical view of it. There's actually, of course, nothing taught like this in the Bible. Usually they use a verse from Matthew where Jesus says, you know, whatever you ask, you know, ask and pray, and believing you will receive. Now, that's one of the verses that they use. I'm trying to think where that is. It's in Matthew 21:22. It's in all things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Now, this is used by the proponents of the secret and by some Christians to endorse this law of attraction. But, of course, there's several things wrong here. First of all, prayer is not a technique. Using the law of attraction is a technique. It's taught as a special law that you can manipulate to get what you want. Prayer is not a way that we manipulate God to get things that we want. So there's a big major difference right there. Secondly, when Jesus is saying this, he's not saying anything you want, if you pray and believe it, you'll get it. He's saying all things you ask in prayer. Now, asking in prayer has to be taken in context in the Bible. What does it mean to ask God something in prayer? Well, according to what the whole Bible teaches, prayer is always submission to God's will. So you can, of course, we petition God for things, you know, and we're even taught to do that, and Jesus taught to ask God for things in Luke 18, 1 through 8. However, this has to be in accordance with God's will. It's not an expectation that we're going to get what we want, and it's not operating on some kind of law of attraction. God is the provider. God is the one who decides. He's sovereign. And so I think asking in prayer, when we're asking, the closer we are to God through Christ, the more we want what God wants for us.
Right.
And therefore, our life is enriched as we grow in Christ, because the more we want for, you know, according to what God wants for us, the more we do get. But what we're getting is what God wants for us and what is best for us as a believer. And so it's not a matter of getting, you know, things just based on our you know, fallen nature or our fleshly desires. So, of course, they don't understand, people who use this to support the secret don't understand these principles, because really, you know, as the Bible says, the unbeliever reading God's word does not have the Holy Spirit, you know, teaching them, and cannot really understand these concepts. They certainly can't pick them up for themselves. And even if they're told these things, they're likely to reject it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's taken out of context and it's misinterpreted.
Yeah, because we can look at the lives of the apostles themselves and see that that was not the case. I mean, and that's another thing, is that that promise was made to the apostles. But even if you look at their lives, I'm sure they didn't want all to be modern. I'm sure that wasn't, you know, something that they were really looking forward to. And we also see Apostle Paul praying three times for the thorn in his side to be removed. So how do we explain those things if it means what they are saying it means?
Exactly. When you look at not just the apostles, you look at many of the early Christians and how they were persecuted and murdered for their faith, and not even just the early Christians, but in some countries today, you know, when you convert from certain religions, you're killed.
Yeah.
And so how can anybody say that the Bible's teaching that you'll have the good life, you know, if you just ask and believe in it, that's what you'll get? Clearly, that's not what is happening to these Christians who are suffering persecution or even being killed for their faith.
Right.
You know, what the greatest desire, of course, that a Christian, you know, strives for is the desire to do God's will and to live their life for the glory of God. And when you want to do that, you know, I'm not saying I'm at this point, but hopefully you come to the point where you are willing to do or to go through whatever God desires you to go through in order to live that out. And that may involve suffering, you know, it may not, but when you put God's will as the priority, which is clearly what the Bible teaches, then that is, and that is your will, you know, then your will's in tune with God's will, and but it's the glory of God. It's not getting what you want.
Right. I noticed you mentioned before earlier that you saw this on Oprah Winfrey's show, and I know she has a very large appeal, so saying mm-hmm. that, I know that this has gotten a lot of exposure, but exactly how prominent or how popular is this secret?
Yeah, I think this is getting more and more popular. There are lots of Christians who have not heard of it, but I think a lot of non-Christians are aware of it. Certain parts of the country, especially urban areas, it seems to be more popular. Of course, the people who listen to Oprah on a regular basis, I'm sure, have heard of this because I'm sure she's mentioned it, you know, on other shows. So that's a lot of people because she has a huge audience. So
right.
there is an enormous number of people who know about it, and I think it's one of those kind of slow burners that it's going to gradually get more well known, because I'm already hearing more people asking about it now than right after it first came out, when hardly anyone seemed to know about it. So it's been out now, well, I should say, since Oprah's show. Oprah's show was about a year ago, exactly a year ago. It was last February, February of 07. And so it's kind of slowly getting out there. I don't know if they're going to do any more on it, you know, like I heard at one point they were going to do like a secret, you know, part two. I don't know. I'm not
right.
sure if that's going to happen, but that wouldn't surprise me, because
right.
that would, you know, I'm sure they could come up with more stuff. I was even thinking the other day, oh my goodness, I hope they don't do, you know, the secret for teens.
Oh, wow.
Because that's another trend now in New Age stuff, is to do books for teenagers. You know, there's a book by Deepak Chopra for teenagers and other books like that,
now,
Conversations with God for teens. So, you know, I'm kind of worried about that happening.
Right.
Right now it seems to be primarily an adult, you know, an adult audience.
Yeah. What do you think are the biggest dangers of the secret?
Yeah, I think the biggest danger is that people who accept the teachings and are practicing it according to what the book tells you to do may experience what they consider to be benefits, and that's going to cause them to believe in it. And I already know anecdotally that this has happened with some people who have said, well, I've used it and it works for me. And so this is one of the biggest dangers, is that people are going to see it as true because they're thinking that it works for them. I think there are a lot of reasons for that. I don't think it's because the secret is true. But, you know, and it takes you away from the Bible and true Christianity. It's sort of a, you know, it's a counterfeit Christianity with a positive thinking bent to it. And unfortunately, because so much of this kind of teaching has infiltrated the church, the motivational, positive thinking stuff is definitely in the church. You know, I think this makes it even a greater danger, because people who are Christians or who think they are Christians are going to see it as compatible with Christianity.
Yeah, so what would you say specifically to Christians who are involved in this, who just don't know any better?
Yeah, I actually have answered a few emails from Christians trying to tell me it's compatible with Christianity.
Right.
And what I've pointed out is the view of Jesus, first of all, is completely different from the Bible. So I go there first, because to me, of course, that's the most important point to make. And I also talk about how Christians are to submit to God's will. It's not that we decide what we want for ourselves and then go about trying to get it. That we can ask God for certain things, but we certainly need to have the attitude that it's in His will and in His timing. And, you know, He may have a different plan for us, you know, in terms of what we're wanting. So it's all about, it's the key thing, I think, is Jesus and submission to God. And those two factors, the biblical Jesus and the attitude of submission to God, are missing from The Secret and from New Thought. Oh, I wanted to add one thing about Oprah Winfrey, because on one of these secret shows, she said, I am a Christian, because an audience member ask the question, are these teachings compatible with the Bible? And Oprah said, I wanted to know that too because I'm a Christian.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people are very confused by her saying
yeah.
that because she seems to not be promoting Christianity on her shows.
Right.
And, of course, she doesn't. But she has said this from time to time. And I used to wonder, well, why is she saying it? And I thought at first maybe it's just because she was raised in a Christian-type atmosphere and exposed to churches when she was younger, and so maybe that's why she thinks she's a Christian. But I discovered that one of her favorite books is a book by Eric Butterworth. I think it's called Discover the Power Within You. And Eric Butterworth was a Unity minister. He was a minister of the Unity School of Christianity, which is one of the New Thought churches. And this is on her list of favorite books. So this gave me an insight into Oprah and her view that she's a Christian. Because Unity bills itself as being Christian and uses the Bible and refers to the Bible, I can see how she might think this. And I think that she does really think she's a Christian. But she's basically, from what I can tell, she's more of a New Thought Christian. Hmm. She's got New Age leanings, and she endorses a lot of New Agers, but I think it's because she has this New Thought view of Christianity, which is very compatible with the New Age. And so I have come to think of her as a New Thought Christian, which is not really a biblical Christian, of course.
Right.
But I think that she thinks she is, and that's why she makes those statements.
Right. Well, Marcia, we have come to the end of the show. I thank you for being on. My special guest, Marcia Montenegro, talking with me about The Secret.
To find out more information about The Secret and various other New Age teachings, visit Marcia's website, ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org.
And that will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless.
The preceding show has been sponsored by Giving an Answer with your host, H.C. Felder. So you can hear this broadcast as well as other episodes by visiting us online at givinganswer.org. You can also order a CD or a DVD of the studio recording by calling me at 704-248-7840. And remember, this show will only stay on the air if people continue to help us buy airtime. So I encourage you to consider making a tax-deductible financial donation to this ministry. That phone number again is 704-248-7840. And be sure to join me again next time on Giving an Answer.